So glad you decided to worship with us here at Crystal River Church of God Online, where we want you to find focus for living. You can also connect with us through Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel for video messages. Now, an inspiring message from our lead pastor, Ronnie Reed.
I want you to go with me in your Bibles. I'm going to go to two different passages of Scripture. I'm throwing a new one on you at some point in time there, Craig. We're going to go from our text, which is Ezekiel chapter 28. But then at some point in time, we're going to go to Matthew chapter 16. So we're doing Ezekiel chapter 28 and Matthew chapter 16 at a little bit later on in the service. Amen. And so they're still having some worship over next door. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, I had to run to my office to get something. And as I went through that hallway, I was singing their song. I was singing this song. And as I got to my office, I was singing their song. And I came back out and songs just swapped. And I was singing their song until I got to the door and started singing this song. Amen. Just do it. Amen. Well, you know, most of you know that Pastor Cash is leaving us as in the status of our care pastor. He's still going to be around when his work allows him to be. So, you know, he was working here part-time, but he said, no, I don't want to work part-time. I want to work full-time. I said, well, we can work you full-time if you want to. And no. But anyway, he's going back to the state office. And so so I don't know how many opportunities you're going to have to hear him, but next Wednesday night, he's going to be bringing the word here. And so you come and be a part of that and be blessed. That is next Wednesday, right? Yeah. Yeah, you're going to be bringing the word. Amen. And so next week, you're really going to get some good preaching. Tonight, you got me. In the book of Ezekiel, chapter 28. If you're there, say amen. Amen. And it says, moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, son of man, take up a lamentation for the king of Tyre, and say to him, thus says the Lord God, you were the seal of perfection. As I get into this, let me just say that many theologians, and I concur with them, and many theologians believe that it wasn't just talking to the king of Tyre, but this was talking to Lucifer, one of what many would call one of the archangels before the fall. And he was saying to him, thus says the Lord God, you were the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering. The sardius, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, sapphire, turquoise, an emerald with gold, the workmanship of your timbrels and pipes was prepared for you on the day you were created. So he not only was adorned with all of these fine jewels, but his literal body was made up of instruments. He was, in all essence, the epitome of worship. He was, in all essence, he was created to worship. Now, the good part is you know the story that he tried to ascend to the higher heights than God. There was a war that took place, and it wasn't a long drawn out war. It happened in a flash of lightning. Jesus said, I befell Satan as he fell. It was a flash of lightning and he fell. And God created man to take the devil's place in worship. And now we have the ability to be a better source of worship because God gave us what he did not give any other creature of being, and that is choice. And I worship God tonight because it is my choice to worship him. it is my choice tonight to lift up my hand and my voice and my heart, my eyes and my spirit unto God and give him praise for what he has done in my life. I'm simply going to preach on the subject tonight, Jesus be lifted up. Jesus be lifted up. See, Lucifer was covered with every precious stone. But what I want you to understand about this, and even about yourself, is that the quality of the stones could only be seen in the presence of the light. If you go into a jewelry store, I'm not talking about where some of y'all buy your jewelry on a back corner, out of a van. Come on, somebody. Don't know if it's stolen or not. But anyway, let me move on. You go to a jewelry store, they have lights set up so that the brilliance of the stone, the clarity of the stone, can be seen. And if you take it away from the light, you still may be able to see it, but the clarity and the brilliance will not be there as it once was underneath the lights. That's when a diamond glistens, is when the light is shined on down on a diamond, it glistens. Can I tell you that we can only be seen when we are in the presence of God's glory? If you really want to shine, then let the glory of his presence shine on your life. Some people go, "Pastor, you don't know the dark place that I work. You don't know the dark place that I live." Can I tell you that when the sun shines on you, if the glory of God, then honey, your brilliance will be seen by everybody in the place. Can you say amen? So we understand that Jesus said, "I saw Satan falling like lightning." That's how that's how fast the war was over, lightning fast. But now we see that Satan had everything that you could possibly imagine. I've heard many, many, many sermons preached on what Satan wanted that he didn't have. I would like to maybe add to it, because point number one is that Satan didn't want to create worship. He wanted to be worshiped. And that's the key. He didn't just want to be worshiped. He didn't want to create worship. He wanted to be worshiped. He didn't want to lead the worship. He wanted to be the object and the affection of our worship. So I saw Satan fall like lightning. Man was created and had a choice. Man had a choice. God said, "Not only do I have a plan to replace you and the choir that left heaven." Can I tell you this? This is for free. Usually if the devil's going to get into a church, it's going to be through the worship team or the intercessors. What? The worship team, because they're so much like the devil, right? Where our worship team at? They gone. See? They gone. The glory of the Lord start coming. They gone. Now they're over practicing with our kids for General Assembly. Now I remember now. So then the intercessors. Pastor, how can you say? Because the intercessors, you've got to be careful that you don't get so susceptible to the spirits that you start entertaining a familiar spirit looking for these spirits. See, I get nervous when everybody's got to have a new revelation. When the preacher has to come up with a brand new revelation that nobody, at some point in time, you're going to run out of revelation. So in order to stay on top, you got to start making up stuff. Are you listening? So you've got to be careful. Those are the two areas I'm telling you most of the time. All right, I'm going to throw one in there and I'm going to get some glares and some booze probably. But if trouble's going to start in a church, it's usually going to be in the worship team, the intercessory prayer team, or the women's ministry. They get in there, you get some hens together, they start talking instead of working. Come on, somebody. Let me move on. See, because my wife's meeting with the women's board right now. That's right. I didn't say nothing, baby. Go ahead. Meet on. But man was created with a choice to worship. And man was created to worship. You and I were created to worship. We were created because the Bible says that when Satan fell, he took a third of the angels with him. I personally believe that was the worship team. I personally believe he took the choir with him. Why would you take? You would have influence where the choir is. And he took the choir. And so God said, I will be worshipped. And so he had a plan to create you and I to have a better form of worship by giving us a will. And that's why our worship is so much more pure than the worship of the angels. Because I have a choice and I declare and decide that I'm going to worship even though my situations are not all great. Even though my emotions might not be all level. I'm going to worship because he is worthy to be worshipped. I'm not going to worship him just because of what he has done, and thank you for what you have done, but I'm going to worship him because he is worthy to be worshipped. Now understand this, that in the Garden of Eden, Adam had everything under his authority, his dominion, but he had one problem. Nothing worshipped him. Let's think about it a moment. Nothing worshiped him. And so here you have the devil comes slithering into the Garden of Eden and says, if you'll eat this tree, if you'll eat this fruit, then you will be like God. You won't be God, but you will be like God, knowing good and evil, and possibly something or someone may worship you. When Satan tempted evil, he said, you will be like God. And the one thing that God received that nobody else received was worship. See, God is so... He said, I will have no other gods before me. Now, it's not that he's ego. He just knows it can't nobody. He understands, and I preached on it a few Wednesday nights ago. He understands that you become like that which you worship. You ever look up to people? If you're not careful, you become like them. That's why you got to be careful who you idolize. Come on now. Who you idolize is a form of worship. And if you idolize them, you will become like them if you're not careful. Now, I say idolize some good people and you'll become like them. But make sure you don't idolize them more than you do God, because he said, I will not have any idols before me. So the one thing that they received was worship. So everyone on this planet has a need to be worshipped. No, Pastor, I don't agree with that. Oh, really? Don't you like it when people say, oh, you look good? Don't you love it? How many times do you put a picture on Instagram or Facebook and check how many likes you got? Because you want to be liked. You want to be worshipped. We want people to like us. And there's nothing wrong with that. I'm just trying to explain to some of you how we are. Everybody likes to be worshipped. I want my wife from time to time to tell me I'm a good husband, a good father, a good pastor, a good preacher. I like those things, but that is a form of worship. Everybody wants to be talked good about and talked good about too. Now, my dad's dead and gone. Died in January, a year ago. However, one of the issues that I had with my father is my father was proud of me but never told me. Always told everybody else, but never me.
I would hear about it from other people, but never me. But, you know, as a child, as a man or whatever, I needed that for him to say, son, I'm proud of you. I'm glad that you're doing well, so forth, so on. Now, what does that mean? I'm just trying to tell you, everybody's that way. Everybody in here, you want to be told that you're doing something good. What if you never got a compliment? What if nobody ever said thank you? Everybody in this building, everybody on this planet has a small need to be worshipped. Now, we wouldn't say this because we mask it with insecurities and the need for compliments. We would never say, I want to be worshipped. No, we would say, well, a compliment would be nice every once in a while. Right? We mask it with insecurities, but we are the first generation to ever be praised while we're still alive. Now think about that. Only the people over 50 are going to really understand that. But this generation is the only generation to be praised while you're still alive. Used to, in order to be famous and to be honored, you had to die to do it. But now, with modern technology, people are famous and honored for being famous. They didn't do nothing, but they're famous. It's amazing. We ask marital advice from people who had never been famous, who had never been married, but because they're famous, we think they know what's what. I mean, everybody asked Oprah Winfrey, and she ain't ever been married. You ain't got nothing to say to me. No. See, I don't even want to talk to somebody. I don't need marital advice from somebody who's been married but never had a cross word. I need a marital advice for somebody who wanted to kill your spouse but you didn't. All right, that's the person I need to talk to. Come on, somebody. See, the modern media technology, we create celebrities and we want to be worshipped. There are famous people. I mean, come on, what has the Kardashians done? She got a big butt. I know a lot of big butts. Are you kidding me? Matter of fact, I've seen some butts that make her butt look small. They ain't famous. I don't understand it. We want people to tell us how good we are. Don't we? We want people to tell us how good we are. Matter of fact, we've gotten to such a point that we don't want anybody to tell us that we are not any good or that we're not good. So therefore, we created this system of everybody gets a trophy. Because if you say that you're no good at something, it's going to hurt my psyche. Some psyches need to be hurt. Because the same people who think they can do everything can't do much. Amen. Hallelujah. We can tweet something and check it on social media 25 times to see if we've been retweeted, see if anybody liked us, and we determine how well we're liked by how many friends on Facebook we have and how many people follow us on Twitter and Instagram. We want to be liked. We want to be liked. You know, I get this a lot, and I've been... God has blessed me to go around the world enduring this media technology. And so I have Facebook friends and Instagram friends from Poland all the way to Uruguay, Ecuador, and Washington State, all and everywhere in between. And every once in a while I'll meet somebody and I'll meet them and go, oh, hey, good to meet you. They go, oh, we're Facebook friends. And I say, you know, and I don't say it braggingly, but I just go, you know, I have a couple of thousand Facebook friends. I don't really know you. But just because we're Facebook friends don't mean, well, I'm gonna tell on myself. Just because we're Facebook friends don't mean I remembered your birthday Facebook tells me it's your birthday, and I write it early in the morning. Some of y'all are disappointed now. Dog, Pastor, I thought you was that good. I'm not. Nobody is. So thank God for Facebook. But you know what I'm saying? Oh, yeah, we've been Facebook friends for 6 years. You live in Uruguay. I've met you 3 times. I don't keep up with your children. Adam's curse. See, Adam's curse was a curse, but God had a secret. Hallelujah. He said, the seed of the woman, he, capital letter, will bruise your head, Satan. Even in this battle, God's going to make sure that you and I get the better of the enemy. Says, he, you and I, will bruise the head of the enemy. You see, Satan knew at some point that he knew that a baby from man would come to destroy him. So what did Satan do? Satan tried to stop it. He tried to stop it. He, you know, when Moses killed children, and Jesus was born, he killed children. God hides his seed throughout the generations of Abraham, and Satan set out a plot to kill the babies because he knew that if he could kill it early, he wouldn't be able to handle it later. So what the devil tries to do to you and I is to try to discredit us, to misdirect us, and to kill us before we ever grow into a full-blown child of the living God, full of faith, full of mercy, full of the Word, because he knows if he can get you early that he can handle you. But once you begin to understand the power of worship and the power of the Word of God, that he knows he can't handle you because you come to realize who you are. There's an acquaintance of mine that he used to go to my dad's church, and his son is a special needs child. However, his son is probably in his 40s, and the dad now is in his 60s. And the young man who's a special needs is strong as an ox, and he loves to arm wrestle everybody. And the daddy said to me, the last time that I beat him in arm wrestling, it was tough to win, so I won't do it again, because in his mental capacity, I need him to think that I can still beat him up if necessary. Are you listening to me? Now that sounds like some of us. See, you ain't fought the devil since you were smaller, and you won. The devil still got you thinking that he's got the other upper hand. But he don't know, baby. I've been drinking milk and eating Cheerios. He don't know that I've been putting into my body the things that I need in order to overcome the power of hell. The thing, my God, the thing that used to cause me to trip out and wig out, now I laugh about and dance over because I've been eating and drinking milk, and milk does the body good. Come on, somebody. And so now I'm at a place where the things that used to stop me can't stop me no more. And so you need to tell the devil that the devil knew that it was easier to kill a kid than kill a king. And he understands that it's easier to kill you when you start out serving God than it is when you get full grown, full of mercy, full of grace, full of the Word, full of the Spirit, because he ain't no match for you then, because it is Jesus who lives and battles for you and through you, and the devil is no match for that. Well, glory to God. Fast forward to Jesus' disciples. They were enamored by who gets to sit next to Jesus. And today, point number two is this, is that we have a generation that seems to worship and like being around Jesus for what it gives them. And we serve Jesus for what Jesus gives us. You know, I Today I was searching for something I wanted to watch, and I stumbled across this other video that I was watching, and I won't go into the people that was, I won't tell you the name because then you're going to go look it up and all that stuff. But it was a street preacher, and you know, everybody's got their opinions about street preachers. I'm not sure that that's a good idea. God didn't call me to be no street preacher. You know, go out there and hold up a sign, tell everybody they're going to hell. That's not my call. But it did give me some insight into what some of the world thinks and believes. One in particular that really struck me strange and really struck a nerve in me was that as he was preaching, somebody came up and said to him, "I'm born again. Why are you yelling at me?" I kind of felt like that guy. I got off a cruise ship in Tampa one time, and a guy was standing up on the box and hollering at all of us that you're all going to hell. I think, for going on a cruise? Really? Jesus went on a cruise. He told his disciples, get in the boat. Let's go to the other side for a time of rest and relaxation. You know, it could have been Cozumel. I don't know. But he was preaching, and the one lady came by, and she said, "I am born again." He said, "Well, praise the God, praise the Lord. You're born again." And she said, "Yes, I am saved. Jesus," here's her words, "Jesus died so that I could sin." And he went off on that. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Son, he went off. But I thought to myself, that's a point. That's what some of us think. That Jesus died so I could continue on sinning. Now that's not what Jesus did. He went, you know, when he caught the woman in adultery, they came out and was going to stone her, and he goes, you that have the no sin, cast the first stone. But then he looked at the woman and said, "Go, where are thy accusers?" She said, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." Now listen to me, church. See, today we have a generation that worships God for what he can give them instead of what he's already done for them. And so it begs the question that I have to ask in a modern day 2018 church who is a worshiping church. And I'm so thankful that our church is a worshiping church. And I'm so thankful that you are a worshiping church and worshiping people. But I have to ask the question, are we worshiping him for what we want him to give us, or are we worshiping him for what he's already done? See, I've come by to tell you that I do thank God for everything that he has done and is doing in my life. But I will continue to worship him if he never does another thing for me, because he died so that I might live. He died so that I could go to heaven and not hell. If he never gives me another pair of shoes, another car, another vacation, if he never, I just thank God, because I'm not headed for hell, but I'm headed for heaven. But we have a generation that worships him, and it's almost like being cool now to go to know Jesus. It's still about them and not him. We serve God for us instead of him. Matthew chapter 16, beginning in verse 13. It says that when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I am? Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" Verse number 14 says, "So they said, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." And he said unto them, and then here, you know, this is a good worship question. He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" It's wonderful to know. It's wonderful to know what my daddy says God is, but who do I say he is? Who? See, that's a worship question. Who do you say? Who do you say I am? Who do you say Jesus is? You know, some people go, well, he's a good teacher. I've never known somebody to be able to tote the title of good teacher but teach something wrong. Isn't that an oxymoron to say that he's a good teacher but he taught all wrong? Because he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father except by me. Some say he was a prophet. Well, in their respects, if he was a prophet, I've got to say, according to their doctrine, he was a false prophet, because he is the one that said, I am the Son of Man. I am the Son of God. Who do you say that I am? I'm going to ask you that question. Who do you say that he is? Is he truly King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Or is he the King of Kings and Lord of Lords on Wednesday night and Sunday? Is he the King of Kings and Lord of Lords on Friday night? How about on Saturday night? How about when nobody else is looking? Is he King of Kings and Lord of Lords? May I say to you, now listen to me. I'm going to say this very carefully. Because some people will judge you no matter what you do. And I want to say, as a pastor, I recognize that there is a higher standard of judgment. But, you know, it's sometimes impossible. Because, see, I've been to the movies, and I remember I was telling Pastor Steve today that I was in a movie with my three brothers, and I'm the only pastor. And there was something that come on the screen that I had to make a decision. All right, am I going to be a prude and get up and say, I'm not watching this trash, and storm out? Or do I sit here through it and they go, what kind of man of God is he to sit there and watch this? See, that's why I don't go to movies with church people. I don't do it. Let's go to the movies, Pastor, unless it's like a PG, I'm not going with you. You know, go to PG-13 because you don't even know what's going to be happening there. But what I'm saying is that it is not sin. It is the way some people look at you. However, I know someone who felt like, and I could call her name. She don't go to our church. She's not in this state. But she wouldn't do this here, but went on vacation and decided to do it here. And it was the same thing, but she said, and somebody called her on it, and she said, well, nobody knows me here. Let me just say this to you. If it is sin here, then it is sin no matter where you're at. If it is sin here, then it is sin over here. And it doesn't matter if anybody sees you or not. I mean, that would be ludicrous to say, well, I only watch porn when I'm by myself. Well, congratulations, you pervert. I mean, do you see how stupid that sounds? Sin is sin whether you're with someone or you're not. Because listen to this, Jesus is always with you. See, worship songs, and I shared this last week, but worship songs are like Hallmark cards. It allows you to say something that you want to say, but you don't have the words to say it. But it means so much more when you write your own words. God wants to hear from you from time to time. You know, how would it be, you know, if your spouse, the only thing you ever said nice to your spouse was a song? All you did was quote another song. At some point in time, that would get old to your spouse. Honey, do you love me? I think I love you. I don't know what I'm afraid of. Yeah. That's going to get old pretty quick. I'm going to tell you right now, most women are going to slap you upside your head. Oh, that's right, behave. So sometimes, many times, God wants to hear it from your own words. So I love to sing. I love to worship. I am a worshiper. I was a worshiper before I was a preacher. And so I'm a worshiper and I love to worship. However, God don't want me singing a song to him all the time. Sometimes he wants me just to talk to him. Matter of fact, let me go one step further. In my prayer time, and it's been a long time since I've done this, but I used to, would go, especially in the old church, I would go in there and get on the piano or the keyboard and just me and God. And I would pray and I would worship him and I would write songs. And some of you that write songs, you know what I'm talking about. I would write a song. And I'm telling you, they were number one hits. Hillsong wanted to record them. Elevation Church wanted my songs. They didn't know they wanted them, but they wanted them. And I would say, God, this is incredible. I need to write this stuff down. And then so I would take a pen and a paper in there and I'd start worshiping again. Nothing. Dry as last year's corn crop. Nothing. And I asked the Lord, Lord, I said, okay, I got it. I'll take a recorder in there with me and just put it on record and I'll get lost in worship. Nothing. I was like, really? And then one time, I'm not exaggerating. One time it started coming, it started flowing. I took about 30 minutes, man, and I was just flowing, and just the Lord would just give me these words and this melody, and it was just, and man, I was just in the zone, like, oh my God. And I was thinking in the back of my mind, this is going to be incredible when I get it and clean it up, and it's just going to be an incredible song. And I got done, and it didn't record. And the Lord said to me, I said, God, why can I record these songs? And he said, some things are just between you and me. Come on, somebody. All right, let me get to where you live. Let me get to where you live. Not everything I say to my wife in the intimate times that we're together do I blurt out and share with everybody else. Are you listening? God said some things are pillow talk with me and you, and they're not for the rest of the world. My God, somebody hear me. So, praise God. God wants to hear from you. Jesus was saying, now that you are with me, good Lord, I got to hurry. Now that you are with me, you have access to prophetic things. He was telling his disciples. You know, who's going to sit by your right? Now that you're with me, you have access to prophetic things. But as the prophetic went forth, the serpent showed up. And Peter got selfish. You see how that works? Peter said, if you die, we can't do what we wanted to do. And Jesus rebuked Satan and then dealt with Peter. He said, deny yourself and follow me. Wait a minute. This is about what I want. No, it's not about you. It's about him. It's about lifting him up. Because you see, denying yourself is the key to worship. I'm going to say that again. Denying yourself is the key to worship. You know, one of the things I hate the worst, I'm telling you, I can't stand a worship leader that don't worship unless he's leading or she. I can't stand it. You know, as long as the worship leader's leading, it's, oh, glory to God. And if they're not leading, no, that's the wrong spirit. That's not denying yourself. That's saying, again, watch me. Some of y'all know the song. Watch me, watch me. We move on. You got to make the choice. Who will you worship? And now listen, when I'm talking about worship, I'm not just talking about on Wednesday night and Sunday mornings. I did part of my Bible study the past week has been choosing the Lord every morning. Choosing His ways and not my ways. What's the first thing on your mind? Getting your priorities straight. See, the choice of worship, and I want you to catch this. I don't know if I have this. Yes. The choice of worship is not between God and the enemy. It's between God and yourself. See, we love to talk about the devil and God, but there's another God in the mix, little g, you. You. We stop giving the praise to God and we start giving it to our systems. We start giving it to our talents. We have to decide how much of our ministry, how much of our life is about us and how much credit we want to give unto God. See, Jesus said to the rich young ruler, remember that story? When he came to the rich young ruler, he said, have you done this, this, that, and the other? He named all the laws that had to deal with self. He goes, yes, I've kept these from my youth. He said, then one thing you lack, sell all that you have and follow me. Now, was it that Jesus wanted all that he had? I know some people preach, well, that's why you can't have nothing and still be saved. That's hogwash. It was the fact is that the rich young ruler had more attachment to the things than he did God. So Jesus said to the rich, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. He was saying, can you walk away from your stuff? Can you walk away from your stuff? Man, I'm going to tell y'all right now, I had a nightmare a few nights ago. I'm not lying. Now, only probably, I'm looking around, Dave and Mary will understand this. Roger will understand this, and maybe Brother Brewer. The nightmare was, I woke up, and I wasn't sure if it was God or what. But I woke up, and I had a dream that God called me back to Blunchtown Church of God. That was a nightmare. And I thought, oh my God. Oh, thank y'all. I woke up and I was like, God? I was sweating. God, is that you? Or is that pepperoni? I believe it was pepperoni. Because those of you who don't know where Blunchtown is, it's in the middle of nowhere. And we had a great church there of 100 people, almost 100. But man, it was just, oh my God. Ah. And I mean, it was so vivid. I went back into the church and I was looking around for a place to live. And I'm like, oh my God, we got to live here again? Oh my God. Oh Jesus. Oh my Lord. And I was sweating. And I said to the Lord, I said, God, if that's what you desire. Oh Jesus. I will have to sell everything that I own. And I will have to probably remarry. And I won't own anything, it won't matter. That's right. And but God, if that's what you desire, I'm willing to do. And then Sherry woke up and I told her, she said, the devil's a liar. I said, oh, that's what I was wanting to hear, baby. But that's the question. Can you walk away from your stuff? Can you walk away from your prestige? Can you walk away from the accolades of people? Can you walk away? I mean, you know, in case you don't know it, guys, our church is a pretty large church in the Church of God. Can you walk away from the accolades of that? I don't know if I can or not. I hope I can. Could. In my dream, I did. So I'm like, Lord, maybe that was like an Abraham Isaac situation. That Isaac, he was willing to kill Isaac, so therefore you didn't have to. So hopefully I was willing in my dream to go back, and maybe I won't have to. Come on. It's hard for people who think too much of themselves. Lord, I got to be done. I got one more point. It's hard for people who think too much of themselves to deny themselves. It's hard for people to deny themselves. You know, I've had quite a few ministers who have talked to me about coming and speaking at their church, and they would say things like, you know, Ronnie, I would like for you to come into our church, but it's real small. And you wouldn't come to a church our small. I go, yeah, I would. Because, I still know whose it is. I still know who's in charge. I still know whose ministry it is. I mean, I went just a couple of months ago and spoke to about 18 people, you know, and I preached like the house was full. Because I know who I came to the dance with. It was the Holy Ghost, and that's who I'm leaving with. So if God puts me in front of one or 1,000, I'm going to preach like it's 1,000. Are you listening to me? So understand this. You got to recognize that, man, to people who think that they're all that in a bag of chips, that's really hard for them to deny themselves. But point number 3 says, Jesus says, lift me up and walk with me. And that's what we've got to do as a church. It's what we got to do as a people. Matthew 11, 27 says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle, lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now check this out. The two animals yoked together do not have to be of equal strength. My God, somebody hear me. The two that are yoked together doesn't have to be of equal strength. You're not equal with Jesus, but you're yoked to him. Hallelujah. And honey, when you can't pull the load, Jesus can still pull the load. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Go where I go, do what I do, and say what I say. See, when we want the credit for ourselves, we work against what Jesus is trying to do. We all like praise, we all like compliments, but humility is not a posture before men, it's a posture before God. Humility is not a posture before men, it's a posture before God. You see, I've gotten so disappointed in ministry because I thought that everybody in ministry spent time with God. I remember my first state council meeting I went to, and Brother Brewer, you were there, and Papa Watson was there, and Papa asked me, Ronnie, what do you think about being on the state council? I said, well, two things. One, I feel like I need a shower. And two, if they make it to heaven, I know I'm making it to heaven. I thought everybody spent time with God if you was in ministry. I thought that's what you were supposed to do. But I've gotten disappointed. And the gift works, and sometimes you see the gift working, but it's not all that God wanted it to be. It's hard to surrender your will to God's will because you got to remember it's not what you want to happen, it's what God wants to happen. We judge a service, and I'm older and wiser now, but we judge services sometimes by how many people fell down. But what we need to judge a service is how many people walk straight afterwards. What we need to judge a service, I'm Pentecostal, man. I love the hucking and bucking and shouting and dancing and falling out. But what we need to judge is there, and this is what gave me such peace, what gave me such zeal while we was worshiping. I looked around and I seen lives that were changed. That's the crux of true ministry. Our lives changed because that this church exists. That's the question you got to ask. Are people's lives better? Are people serving God that used to not serve God and their lives are better? See, so why do I need validation? Why do I need validation? It became an open door for the enemy to get in if you're seeking validation from men. Because you will begin to preach for the applause. You begin to sing for the applause. You don't need that validation. You need the applause of heaven. I heard an idea. One preacher said, let's give a trophy to every young minister ahead of time so that they don't seek it anymore. Isn't that the truth? Let's go ahead and give them a trophy. There you go, buddy. Because if we're seeking a trophy from man, if man gave it to you, man can take it away from you. But if we don't settle the issue of self-denial, we will not see the movie or the move of God that's trying to come. Man, I've been saying it for the last year and a half, that our church is on the precipice of a great move of God. And I know, and I say that sometimes, and people go, Pastor, God is moving. And it is. But still, it still has not even touched the surface of what I feel God is about to do here in Crystal River. I believe that, I'm telling, my God, I'm still believing that, man, that there's some people that don't know Jesus about to come in. Some of your family's members that don't know Jesus, that have been living like the devil, about God's about to put a hook in their jaw and turn them around. And I believe that God's about to mend some marriages and some relationships and some jobs that you haven't even been seeking, that God's about to give you and financial increase. I just really do believe that. But are you, but you know, the question that, what is it? John the Baptist said, are you he or shall we look for another? You've got to ask, is it God or should we look for another? I'm telling you, it is God. We're in a celebrity, idol-driven culture. And if you say, I will deny myself. Now listen. If you say, I will deny myself, you are positioning yourself to be overlooked by man. But you will receive the applause of heaven. My God. There's some things on my mind that I could say right now, and I'm just not going to, though. I just don't. Because everybody in this building, you've probably been overlooked by somebody or someone. You know, let me just, and I'm hesitant because his granddaddy's here. But Anthony, our youth pastor, he's not speaking tonight either. I don't know when's the last time he's preached. I'm going to have to fire him. No. Anthony was a youth pastor in a small church of 130, 140. And when I begin to talk to Anthony about coming here, Anthony's never put himself out there like, I'm all that in a bag of chips. And when I was talking to him, the anointing came on me. And I said, son, when you didn't think nobody else was looking, when you've been looked over by the state officials, when you've been looked over and you didn't think nobody else was looking, but you were like David on the backside of the pasture, sharpening your skills. My God, somebody hear me. And when man wasn't looking at you, God was looking at you. And let me say this, because of God and Pastor John, our former youth pastor, Pastor John, that this young man went from almost obscurity with just a phone call. He didn't call me. I called him. Why? Because God illuminated him. Somebody hear me. You ain't got to shine your own stone. Just get into the glory of God. And they'll see you from 4.5 hours away. My God. And I said, why everybody else was trying to jockey for position, and everybody else was looking to get ahead, you were just doing what you knew to do. And we hired him, and he went from almost obscurity to the top five youth groups in the Church of God in Florida. And is doing an awesome job. Listen, I could talk about Josh a little bit. Began to show up the last couple of years at camp meeting and just sing in the choir and just serve. There's something about it, church. Just serve. One of the chairmen or one of the music committee told me a couple of weeks ago, he said, man, if I got an opportunity, I want to use Josh. I said, he's a good boy. I said, he's ugly, but he's a good boy. No, I'm just kidding. You know I am. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm just simply telling you that you may be overlooked by man, but you keep doing what you know to do. You keep doing what you know to do. And let your stones, let your diamond shine in the glory of the Lord. Because when nobody else is looking, God is. But Pastor, I've been passed up by promotion. That's all right. God's keeping score. God's got an account. And you might not know when or where, but you keep doing what you know to do. And God will bust you out up on the scene and they'll ask, where did they come from? How did they get here? How did they get here? You know, I have some pastors ask me now, oh, Ronnie, you had it easy. Oh, they don't know how long I was on the backside of the pasture. They don't know when we started with 40 people. They don't know $26,000 a year was our budget, our whole budget. Now they want to talk about it. Humility. I deny myself. You are positioning yourself to be overlooked by men. But you will receive the applause of heaven. The Bible said that there will be people that says, I did this in your name. But he will say, I never knew you. I want you to get this. God is looking for somebody that he can know. He's looking for somebody he can know. Not that knows how to make it shine, but so that he can know. I've had so many ministers over the 25 years I've been here, and God's blessed us, and I give God all the glory and the praise. But I've had so many quote-unquote ministers to come in to help me. And what it really was is they couldn't stand on their own two feet, so they wanted to ride my coattail. Matter of fact, I remember somebody saying about Pastor Cash, when Pastor Cash, somebody told us just the other day, when he came in, he goes, who is this old guy coming in? Oh, I knew who he was. But look here. Pastor Cash has been with us 5 years and 10 months. Has done an incredible job. Incredible job for us. Denied itself. But when they begin to look for somebody to help with the transition in the state office, what man could do this? Brother Cash wasn't going, ooh, 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 me. They begin to look around. Who could do this? Oh, this man of integrity. This man of character. This man of vision. Give me my last one so I'll shut up. What's my last one? Is that it? I guess I'm done. No, I got one more.
There it goes.
Revival, true revival. I'm not talking about a series of services. True revival in a church brings an awakening to the community. When you need, you know,
all right, Lord.
When you need affirmation after every service. Now listen, for those of you who'd give me affirmation, I don't want you to quit. But when you need and have to have affirmation after every service, you're opening yourself up to taking praise that belongs to God. You need to ask God, God, are you happy with what I'm doing? You got to be able to preach in silence, sing in silence, and you still be okay. But if heaven is silent, then you're in trouble. See, it's all right if you don't clap and say amen. I mean, I like it. I'm normal. I just said to you, everybody needs it. But as long as heaven is okay, I'm okay. Stand to your feet. John said, I must decrease so that he may increase. Lord, let it be all about you and not about CRCOG, Ronnie Reed, or anybody else. Let it be about you. Now I want you just to close your eyes with me, and I know it's 8:38. We're all right. But would you just take a couple of minutes and ask God about your own life? God, are you pleased with my worship? Do I lift you up? Oh, Randalabus. Do I lift you up? Because you said if you be lifted up, you would draw all men.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.